Hi, Dove. Hello, everyone. Yeah, it's good to be here. I'm really, really tired. I got a little IM from my friend Danielle, who showed up to listen to Dove, and she and I are very good friends, and she was telling me, "My eyes are so sleepy." She goes, I don't think I'm going to be able to hang around for your teaching." I'm like, "Yeah, my eyes are sleepy too, but I have to hang around." So here I am. But this has happened before, and usually, once I say the prayer and all of that, I wake up. So I'm sure everything will be fine. I have a CD handy if I need to take a break and play a couple of songs. In fact, it's a CD. It's a mix of songs that Danielle gave to Jasmine and me. She calls it Jasmine's House is the name of the mix. So maybe I'll play a song or two from the mix. But if I start snoring, I don't know, you'll have to red dot me, Dove. But yeah, tomorrow I leave for New England. I'm excited about that. Camp for Miracles. I'm excited about that. It is a lot of fun to get together because we do get to know each other pretty well, in Pal Talk and on our online groups like the Peace of God and NTI discussion group. And it's a lot of fun to get together in person. So I am excited to go to Camp for Miracles. I am excited to go to the Omega Institute, May 31st to June 5th. I'm excited to go to Beaumont, Texas on July 11th. I'm excited to go to St. Louis on July 18th. And I'm excited to go to Be the Love August 7th, 8th, and 9th. It's going to be a fun summer, a lot of travel. Jasmine's going everywhere with me. Once she's out of school, she won't be at Camp for Miracles and she won't be at Omega. But after that, she's going every place else with me. So it'll be a fun summer. Tell you what, I am going to go ahead and start with a song because I am tired, and maybe this song will help to wake me up too. So why don't we start with a song? Then we'll go into a prayer, and then I'll share a message with you. From reginadonacres.com, January 2006. What I'll do while I'm playing the song is I will give you the link. Again, this, I don't even know what song it's going to be. It's going to be the first song on the mix that Danielle made for Jasmine and I. The mix is just called Jasmine's House. Here we go.
Just wanna give away. It's okay to open up. Go ahead and let the light shine through. I know it's hard on a rainy day. You wanna shut the world out and just be left alone. But don't run out on your faith. 'Cause sometimes that mountain you've been climbing is just a grain of for forever is in your head.
Cool. Yeah, Danielle picks out very good songs. All right, so I gave you all a link to reginadonacres.com. It's to a message that was posted in January of 2006. It's literally called A Message from the Holy Spirit. And it looks like it was probably posted about January 6th, although I can't tell for sure in the view that I'm in. But what I'm going to do is I'm just going to start reading this message. Oh, no, I'm not. Gosh, I almost forgot to pray. I told you guys I'm tired. I never forget to pray. So why don't we say a prayer and then I will begin reading this message. But there's no way I want to do that before I pray. So if y'all would join me, I would really appreciate it. Holy Spirit, I want to say thank you for everything. Just everything. I don't want to leave anything out. I was just listening to Dove teach. And of course, as he was teaching, he emphasized a few times that we don't know what anything is for. And that is true. And yet at the same time, we know it's all to help us awaken. It's all here as a gift. And it's our thinking mind that judges it and thinks that it knows what it is, that it knows what's going on. That's the error. But when we realize we don't know what anything is, don't know what anything is for, and we let go, then what can be revealed for us is that which is most helpful to our awakening, the miracle, the beauty, the errors that need to be released, everything. So I want to thank you for everything. As we look at these messages that we look at tonight, I ask you to please guide us to see whatever is most helpful for us to see and to realize whatever is most helpful for us to realize. I thank you in advance for the gifts we are about to receive. Amen.
There we go.
All right. So what I'm going to do is begin reading from the message that I gave you. It's simply called A Message from Holy Spirit. So let's see what we have here. You are truth. Truth is not something you need to reach for or achieve or learn to be. But I'm laughing because of the way that I listen to that song. I hear that one line saying, when you've been out there searching for forever, it's in your hands. That's the way I hear that line. When you've been out there searching for forever, it's in your hands. And then we read in the second line of this seems to say the same thing to me. You are truth. Truth is not something you need to reach for or achieve or learn to be. Truth is what you are right now. It's so funny that I think I'm picking a song because I'm too tired to talk, and it turns out the song is a perfect opening to the message from Holy Spirit. Proof, Dove, that you're absolutely right, that we don't know what anything's for. We don't even know why we're playing a song when we think we know why we're playing a song. It's just amazing. It's just amazing. So I think what we really want to do is we just want to sit back and enjoy it all. That's just the best way to go through this life that we're experiencing, is just to sit back and enjoy it all, without exception. So again, Holy Spirit, thank you for everything. But let me get to the message. You are truth. Truth is not something you need to reach for or achieve or learn to be. Truth is what you are right now. You cannot stop being truth, for the truth is always true. You who do not know that you are truth, and who believe that your denial of truth is a sin or error that must be fixed, may rejoice. For there has been no sin, and there is no error that must be fixed. Nothing has occurred to change the truth of you, and so nothing has occurred to change the truth of heaven. This is why you need do nothing. It is because the truth is always true, and it can never not be true, not even for an instant. There are those among you who want to have the awareness of this truth within your mind. This is why I am here. I am the awareness of truth within you. So all that you must do, and this is simple indeed, all that you must do is put aside listening to the ego, which denies the truth, and choose instead to listen to me. My voice is your awareness of truth. This is why I speak of stillness. And it's kind of interesting to me that Holy Spirit should say that. Because I don't remember Holy Spirit speaking to me about stillness a lot until recently. If you watch the single quiet thoughts that have been coming through me recently, they're all about stillness. And this is a message from way back in January of 2006. So it's kind of funny when the only thing Holy Spirit seems to be talking to me about now is stillness. That I should be reading a sentence that says, this is why I speak of stillness. It's funny how everything fits together, isn't it? This is why I speak of stillness. Stillness is not a pit or abyss or an absence of all thought. Stillness is an active putting aside of the ego. In choosing stillness, you make the choice not to listen to the ramblings of the ego. In making that choice, you also choose to hear and feel the truth, which is beyond the choice for the ego. Stillness may be chosen in periods of quiet set aside with stillness as your aim. But stillness may also be chosen whenever you choose, in any moment, without exception. All you need to do to choose the voice of stillness. Isn't that interesting? The voice of stillness. All you need to do to choose the voice of stillness is to decide that you do not desire the voice of the ego. That is all. That is all. Interesting. Well, I guess I just want to say that, of course, I know this is true. I can also say that I do my best to practice this. I can also say I'm not perfect at practicing it. But I can also say that with practice I get better. And what's nice about getting better is as you get better at something, as you know, it becomes effortless. When you're first learning to do something, whether you're learning to play piano, learning to ride a bike, learning to play baseball, there's a lot of effort in it because you're not very skilled at it and you have to work pretty hard at it. But if you keep practicing, again, it doesn't matter what you're practicing, if you keep practicing, at some point, some parts of it at least become effortless. You may then try and take yourself to the next level, so there may always be a pushing, a place where you're pushing yourself, you know, to ride the bike better. Now you're trying to ride over ramps and get a little bit of air, you know, play better baseball, play better piano. But you've passed a point where there used to be effort, it's now effortless. And of course, if you keep challenging yourself, that line moves so that more and more of whatever you're trying to master just becomes natural and effortless. You sit down and you play a magnificent song on the piano with no effort at all. And it's the same thing is true for learning to let go of ego and listen to the Holy Spirit. If we are willing to put effort into it, at some point, it becomes effortless, and then we may find more challenging opportunities. The bar may get risen, just like you learn to play more difficult songs on the piano. So, I'm going to say we're pushing ourselves to get better and better and better, at not listening to the ego and therefore only listening to the Holy Spirit. But this is how we become masters, right? So I think it's just wonderful that we just keep seeing ourselves as masters in training. I think that it's helpful to just completely accept that we are preparing ourselves to be masters. And something in my mind, when I say it that way, when I say that I'm preparing myself to be a master, there's something in me that knows that achievement will be met. And again, just like this message started, we don't have to do anything to be the truth. We are the truth. What we're talking about is making the truth our only awareness by not listening to the voice that denies that truth. Let's see, I'm going to read a little bit of what's being written on the board. First Dove wrote, "There are many poetic and beautiful passages such as this one. It is not what you do that matters, but why you do it. Do it for me. Do it in peace. Do it in love and with joy." That sounds interesting. That sounds familiar to me. Even as tired as I am, that sounds familiar to me. I think that's probably from NTI, Dove. Yeah, I think it's probably from NTI. Sounds very familiar. Dove also wrote, "In quietness are all things answered, and is every problem quietly solved." And I totally agree with that. In fact, I used that yesterday when there appeared to be a possible reason for fear. I actually chose not to go into fear. I chose to go immediately into stillness. And I received what I perceived to be some pretty specific guidance. I received guidance to ask someone to clarify what they were saying and to wait, to do nothing, to wait and watch how this unfolds. And in fact, that turned out to be the perfect situation, because of course when the person clarified what he was saying, he was not saying at all what it sounded like he might be saying. So it works. You just don't go into fear, even though it looked like it could possibly have been a very fearful situation. I just chose not to. I mean, that's the bottom line. I chose not to. I chose to go into stillness, ask what to do, and guidance was given. Very good guidance that actually pointed out that there never was an issue in the first place. So in quietness, all things are answered, and is every problem quietly solved. Colleen has written, "In the same way that the natural quietness and stillness of the world around us is always covered over with man-made noise," this is good, Colleen, "the natural quietness of our minds is constantly disturbed by the chattering of our ego selves. I'm learning to seek out the silence." Yeah, me too, sister, and we're doing that together. Oh, and I see you ordered NTI today, so yeah. Oh, and Dove is saying that, yeah, Karen Bentley today, who is the spiritual reviewer, sent us a review of NTI, and I did read it, but I don't remember exactly what she said. I told you guys I'm very tired today. But in quietness are all things answered, and is every problem quietly solved. Are you saying that was in Karen's review of NTI, Dove? Is that what you're saying, that line? Tell you what, let me go and get the... Oh, no. Okay, here's what was in Karen Bentley's review. This was the first thing I read from Dove. Not that last sentence, but this one. "There are many poetic and beautiful passages such as this one. It is not what you do that matters, but why you do it. Do it for me, do it in peace, do it in love and with joy." Yes, that was in Karen's review. And then the second thing that Dove wrote, "In quietness are all things answered, and is every problem quietly solved." That is from A Course in Miracles. Okay, thank you, Dove. All right, well, let me get the next message that we are going to look at. It's actually about A Course in Miracles. It's about lesson one. Nothing I see means anything. So I'm giving you all a link to that now. But if you were already in the previous message, all you have to do is go to the top and you'll see at the top on the right where it says lesson one, nothing I see means anything. Just click on that and that will take you to the next message. So it looks like I was doing the workbook that day, and it's a very short message. I've actually only done the workbook once. But occasionally I will feel guided to a lesson. And so apparently on this day I was feeling guided to lesson one. And after I did lesson one, I had a question for the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, everything I see in this room and out my window are meaningless. The only meaning that anything has is the meaning you give it, I said. What is that meaning? I remember this day. I remember, and in fact, you'll see in the next question, I remember I was saying nothing I see means anything, and I was looking at things like a tarp, a clock, a pillow, a basketball, and I just got very curious, you know, what kind of meaning could Holy Spirit give to everything, like a tarp, a clock, a pillow, a basketball? So that's what led me to ask this question. So again, Holy Spirit, everything I see in this room and out my window are meaningless. The only meaning that anything has is the meaning you give it. What is that meaning? Holy Spirit answered, everything in your midst, everything in the world has the purpose of healing the mind. And there we go. That's something that came up in the opening prayer today when I said, thank you for everything, right? In the prayer, we literally thanked Holy Spirit because we knew that all experiences help in the awakening. Whether it seems to be an experience that points out an error in our mind that needs to be let go, whether it seems to be a miracle experience or a holy instant, a realization, everything has the meaning of helping us to awaken. So everything in your midst, everything in the world has the purpose of healing the mind. Now here's a good question. I'm laughing at myself. How does a tarp or a clock or a pillow or a basketball help to heal my mind? And, you know, that's a good question, because actually it's easier to see how all of the posts on the peace of God in the last 24 hours were helpful to healing the mind. That's fairly easy to see. But how does that tarp over there or that basketball over there help to heal the mind? And here's the Holy Spirit's answer. When you see that all of these things have been made to teach the belief in separation, and then you agree that they cannot teach what is false, you have used them to heal the mind. That's a brilliant answer. That's a brilliant answer. If anyone doubts that when I go to Holy Spirit, I'm hearing Holy Spirit, I just don't know how they could, to be honest. I know some people do, because I see the doubters. I just don't understand, because these answers are so brilliant. So brilliant. Look at this. How does a tarp or a clock or a pillow or a basketball help to heal my mind? Now look at this answer, and then we'll look at it a little more. When you see that all of these things have been made to teach the belief in separation, and then you agree that they cannot teach what is false, you have used them to heal the mind. Do you realize that answer applies to everything? It applies to a clock, a pillow, a basketball, a tarp, but it also applies to everything that's gone on the peace of God in the last 24 hours. Because all of those emails seem to be teaching separation. Every one of them. But I also know, and I know this for a fact, because I know what my position was, this is why I know for a fact. I know for a fact that they cannot teach separation if we refuse to learn that lesson. I know that for a fact. So, a tarp, a clock, a pillow, a basketball, they appear to be different. But I can realize that they are not, even as I'm using them and interacting with them. And my brothers, with different opinions, different behaviors, appear to be different, sometimes very, very different as a tarp is from a clock. But even while I'm interacting with them, I can remember that they are not, and I know that for a fact because I just did it. There's lesson one in A Course in Miracles. Nothing I see means anything. How does a tarp or a clock or a pillow or a basketball help to heal my mind? When you see that all of these things have been made to teach the belief in separation, and then you agree that they cannot teach what is false, you have used them to heal the mind. Does anybody else have anything they want to share before we go to the next message? Okay, then at the top of this message, you'll see where it says ordering of thoughts. Just click on ordering of thoughts and you will go to the next message. Looks like I was feeling some resistance. It says, I feel resistance to the statement, God Himself orders your thought. My automatic reaction to that statement is, I don't want God ordering my thoughts. And I willingly put that resistance aside right now so I can learn what you would share about this statement. So there we go. Being very honest with Holy Spirit about what's in my mind, but then also putting it aside so I can see differently. You know, even the question is enlightening. It is, because first of all, I have to be willing to admit to see my error. And I'm willing to see it. I'm willing to see that this sentence from A Course in Miracles, God Himself orders your thought, kind of ticks me off. I'm willing to see that. Okay? And I'm also willing to see that if I'm upset, it's my error. I'm willing to see that. If I'm upset, it's my error. And then I'm willing to put it aside, put my error aside, so that I can see differently. So even the question has something that we can learn. I feel resistance to the statement, God Himself orders your thought. My automatic reaction to that statement is, I don't want God ordering my thoughts. And I willingly put that resistance aside now so I can learn what you would share about this statement. This line, and I put in the message, it's from A Course in Miracles, chapter 5, section 5, paragraph 7. This line is a metaphor. For in reality, there are no separate thoughts to be ordered. What this statement is saying is this. What is because God created it that way. It cannot be changed, and any attempt to make it different than what it is must be illusion. What is because God created it that way. It cannot be changed, and any attempt to make it different than what it is must be illusion. Again, you know, I can't help but think about the last 24 hours because they were so interesting. And I'm certain there was a lot of wishing in the last 24 hours, you know, on the peace of God, that things were different, that people would get along, for example, that people could just be nice to each other for a change. But when we make those wish, what we're really trying to do is we're trying to order thoughts, because thoughts are more than just the ideas in the head. Thoughts are the entire experience of the illusion. So we are trying to take control and order thoughts. Instead of accepting what is as it is, and instead of practicing what the previous message just taught us, you know, how is this helpful to me in healing my mind? I accept it, now how is it helpful? We want it to be different. We want people to be, why can't they just be nice on the peace of God? Dang it. We're all core students. Why can't they be nice to each other? You know, even that is our error. It's amazing. Even that is our error. But to accept, just start by accepting what is, because you know what? It is. To wish it to be different is really just daydreaming, just foolishness, because it is what it is. If people on the peace of God do not seem to be saying nice things to each other, well then, it is what it is. Why wish for it to be different? It's not going to change it. So why not use it? Why not say, Holy Spirit, I'm noticing that I'm upset by what that person just said to that person, and I'm noticing that I'm upset by her reaction back. Now, how is this helpful to healing my mind? How about we all just use each other to wake up? I mean, they may not sound like very nice words if you don't like the idea of being used. But if we all use each other, use every situation, not to judge it, not to wish it was different, but just to help us wake up, if we all do that, you know what's going to happen? Pretty soon we are going to be nice on the peace of God, because we're all just going to be listening to Holy Spirit. You know, eventually it will be different. But first we have to accept what is right in front of us right now and allow Holy Spirit to use it to heal my mind. Remember, my only responsibility is to accept the atonement for myself. And if everybody else around me wants to fight, then let them fight. Let them fight and let Holy Spirit show me how their fighting is helpful to me in healing my mind, because there are a lot of ways. There are a lot of ways that can be helpful to me. So I try and order my thoughts when I'm really asking whatever is right now to be different, because what is right now is absolutely perfect. It's especially perfect for the possibility of having my mind healed. So let's just use it. Let's just use each other in love for love. Let's use each other. So when I screw up, when I accidentally listen to ego one day and I post on the peace of God out of ego because I had a blip, and you guys go, oh my God, I can't believe Regina did that. Just stop. Stop. Say, okay, wait a minute. I'm noticing a little upset here. Okay, great, great. Well, Regina said I could use her. So Holy Spirit, I'm noticing I'm upset by what Regina just said. I notice I'm judging what Regina just said. Can you help me? Help me heal my mind. Help me heal my mind. Let's take advantage of this. And if we all do that all the time, we might just wake up together. Okay, let's see what people are writing. Oh my God, I can't believe Gina acted human. Yeah, well, Cheryl knows better than that, because Cheryl knows me a little better than most of y'all. So she gets to see me more than just when I'm teaching. So she knows human Regina. Dove is saying attack is not possible, and he's quoting Regina. And actually, that's a pretty good example, Dove, about what we're talking about, because that's what was happening at that time, right? I was apparently watching two teachers of God seemingly attacking each other. Yeah, it was happening on Gary Renard's board. And I used it. I used it. Holy Spirit, help me. Every time I kept seeing the word attack, I kept hearing that no, no, no. And finally I asked Holy Spirit, you know, basically what's up with the no's every time I see attack? Is attack even possible? And that's when Holy Spirit taught me what love is. at the level of illusion. Okay, it's a stepping stone thought, but that's when Holy Spirit taught me what love is. Remember, Holy Spirit taught me love is giving to Spirit, through Spirit, that which Spirit requests. And so in a world where we, which looks like bodies, but we're truly spirit, in a world where we sit around thinking thoughts of attack and defense is a part of our experience. But it's not really attack and defense, is it? If love is Spirit giving to Spirit that which Spirit requests, and if we're sitting around thinking attack thoughts and defense thoughts in our mind all the time, then what we're really doing is requesting the experience of attack and defense, and then attack and defense is given, that's just love. Love is giving to Spirit, through Spirit, that which Spirit requests. So you see how a seemingly bad situation, two reputable course teachers seemingly attacking each other in public, was used. Hold on, Jasmine's coming. Yes, dear, something exciting happened on American Idol? What?
Chris is safe.
Chris is safe. Remind me who Chris is. I'm having a...
The guy who we wanted to leave?
Oh, the cute guy. Okay, Chris is not being kicked off American Idol tonight, you guys. So the bottom three are Adam, Goki, what's his name?
Danny.
Danny Goki and Allison. Okay.
Oh, my God.
Okay, there we go. Breaking news. Okay, Jasmine, you come back and let us know what happens next, all right?
Oh, my God.
Chris is safe.
Danny Goki's going home.
Danny Goki and Adam and Allison are in the bottom three. There's only four left for those of you who don't know this stuff.
I hate that dude.
Okay, tell you what, I guess we talked about that one enough. Let's go on to the next question. Here we go. Questioner. That was me, of course. I'd also like to talk about this passage in the paragraph. Okay, so same paragraph in A Course in Miracles. Guilt is inescapable by those who believe they order their own thoughts and must therefore obey their dictates. This makes them feel responsible for their errors without recognizing that, by accepting this responsibility, they are acting irresponsibly. I do believe I am responsible. For example, I do feel guilty when I attack Jasmine with my words or tone of voice. I also react as if she is guilty when she attacks me. How would you have me view circumstances such as these? All right, here's Holy Spirit's answer. This is the time for remembering everything I have taught you. You and Jasmine are not separate bodies. You are a mind that is having the experience of separation because it chose that experience. So there we go. That's just what we talked about, right? Love is giving through Spirit, to Spirit, that which Spirit requests. You are a mind, or we could say you are Spirit, either one works, that is having the experience of separation because it chose that experience. So you see, our experiences of separation are actually love. Love is giving through Spirit to Spirit that which it requests. You are a mind that is having the experience of separation because it chose that experience. Be grateful for your freedom and love your sister who is a part of your chosen experience with you. So even when Jasmine and I appear to be fighting, we are loving one another because we're each giving each other the experience of separation that we want to have right now. Love is giving to Spirit, through Spirit, that which Spirit requests. And how do I know that I want the experience of separation? Well, if I'm experiencing it, I must want it because it is not true. How could I experience it unless it's what I want to perceive? And that's why the message we just read before, based on Lesson 1 in A Course in Miracles, said, everything in the world is here to teach us separation, because that's what we wanted to learn. But, by the same token, everything here can help us heal our mind if we choose not to allow it to teach us separation. So if I can literally be in a fight with Jasmine, okay, be in a fight with Jasmine, and then allow the memory to cross my mind that love is giving through spirit to spirit that which spirit requests, I will instantly remember that I'm not fighting with Jasmine. That's merely an appearance. We are sharing an experience of separation that we both wanted to have. We are currently loving one another. Boy, can't Holy Spirit turn things around. This is a time for remembering everything I have taught you. You and Jasmine are not separate bodies. You are a mind that is having the experience of separation because it chose that experience. Be grateful for your freedom and love your sister who is a part of your chosen experience with you. Then, all right, now that you've got a hold of why you're fighting, then remember that you have decided to let go of the experience of separation and return to the awareness of truth. This gives you the opportunity to become the sane one now, because you just remembered, although it appears you're fighting with your daughter or your spouse or your brother on the peace of God, you have just been offered the opportunity to remember that is not what is going on. This is love. Love choosing to have an experience of separation. And now you have the opportunity to become the saner one in the moment by returning your perspective fully to the Holy Spirit. Remember that you have decided to let go of the experience of separation and return to the awareness of truth. This circumstance, made by your choosing to further the belief in separation, cannot further that belief within your mind when you choose to step back from that belief and choose again. Remember also that what you choose for everyone. Or better said, what you choose in the current moment, you choose for the entire mind. And it seems that that works too from my perspective. In fact, even in the last 24 hours when Dove was teaching, he talked about how this situation, which at least a couple of people, if not a few, thought had reached some kind of crisis mode, resulted in an amazing donation to the Foundation for the Holy Spirit. So when the choice was made to remember that appearances were not what they seemed to be, the situation was a little flare-up, but it did not escalate, and in fact it began to de-escalate and had a fairly nice ending. Now this doesn't mean that we won't continue to see the appearance of fighting on the peace of God. I expect that we will. But each and every one of those situations are opportunities for us to use it to heal our mind. So let's be happy for whatever is placed in front of us. Because whatever is placed in front of us has only one purpose. All right? Looks like I had another question at the bottom of this message. What else would you like to share regarding this paragraph in the Course? I asked. And the Holy Spirit said, you are a messenger. You cannot help but be a messenger, just as you cannot help but be a teacher. And of course, he's speaking to all of us here, not just to me. What he means is whatever we choose to believe in our mind, we are actually teaching the whole mind in the moment. So if I choose to believe that everybody is fighting and nobody's getting along and so-and-so's right and so-and-so's wrong on the peace of God, then I'm choosing to be a teacher of separation in my mind, even if I don't make a post, even if I don't do anything but sit back and think about how ridiculous they are. I'm teaching separation in my mind. But if I choose to let Holy Spirit help me to see differently, if I choose to see only calls for love, and I choose to love each and every one, to answer that call because they are my brothers and I want to answer that call, I'm teaching healing. I'm teaching awakening. I'm teaching oneness. If I choose to remember love is spirit, giving through spirit, to spirit, that which spirit requests, and I see everything as oneness in action, acting out what it wants to act out but could never be true, I'm teaching oneness in our mind. So I'm always a teacher. I'm always a teacher. I'm never off duty. I'm never off duty. No such thing as summer vacation. So Holy Spirit says, you are a messenger. You cannot help but be a messenger, just as you cannot help but be a teacher. The question is this: what message do you deliver through your choice? You have decided to be a messenger for the Holy Spirit. And so the thoughts that you accept must be the thoughts of the Holy Spirit. That is the only way to fulfill your function. That is all there is to do. And that's pretty simple. That if I want to be a messenger for the Holy Spirit, then it must be His messages, His way of seeing, His way of thinking that I carry in my mind. And if I do not make that choice, then I am not His messenger. I am the messenger of separation. And what I'm going to do is give you guys one more link. I think we have time for one more message. Does anybody have anything they want to share before I continue with the next message? Yeah, Colleen, did you want to say something? Okay, so maybe not. Okay, good then. Tell you what, well, why don't we just go on to the next message? I gave you the link. It's called, Am I Separate from My Experience? Looks like I was reading Brent Haskell's book, The Other Voice, at the time, and I had a question out of that. So here we go. Holy Spirit, I felt that you told me that my experience in space and time is separate from who I am, in that it doesn't define me. Now I am reading in Brent Haskell's book, The Other Voice, that my experience is me. I'm confused, since these two statements seem to conflict. What clarity can you give? And, lots of sentences that Holy Spirit uses to teach us seem to conflict. Lots of sentences seem to conflict. But as we grow higher and higher in our understanding, as we let go of the ego more and more and our clarity gets stronger, the apparent conflict actually just disappears. We understand the sentence is fine. But before we get to that level of clarity, when we're more back at just the level of words, there are a lot of sentences used to point us towards truth that seem to conflict. And it helps to ask the Holy Spirit to give clarity. That's part of how we'll get beyond the conflict of words. So let's see what Holy Spirit says. Your experience comes from you. In this way, it is you. It is your thoughts, your imagination that makes your experience. It is within your mind as a dream or a wish. But your experience does not define you. You are not limited by it, for you are the unlimited. Therefore, you may choose another experience entirely, and that experience would also be in your mind. So that experience would also be you, of your making and of your power and of your being. But neither could that experience define you. For nothing can define the unlimited. That reminds me of in the Bible. There was a rich man who wanted to ask Jesus how he could inherit the kingdom of heaven. But one of the first things he said to Jesus, I don't remember his exact words, but basically it was that he knew Jesus was a good man. He said something like that, "I know that you are a good man." Jesus, you know, said, "Why do you call me good? Only the Heavenly Father is good. Why do you call me good?" It's a very interesting response from Jesus. Why do you call me good? But if you call me good in one moment, then you may call me bad in the next. Good is actually a judgment. So I cannot be defined as good, just as I cannot be defined as bad. I only am. I only am. So nothing can define the unlimited. In this way, your experience is you, but you are not limited by your experience. And then I wrote, note, after this discussion, I felt guided to open A Course in Miracles randomly. I opened to this. The meaning of the Son of God lies solely in his relationship with his Creator, which again means I'm not defined by any experience that I choose. But that experience does come fully from me. Whatever experience I am having comes fully from me. And I would like to say, by the way, that me, the me that fully creates the experience, is not the ego. The ego is merely interpreting the experience. The ego does not have the power to actually make any experience at all. The ego interprets it, but the experience comes from beyond the ego. I don't know how else to say that. I want to say the self. Everything comes out of the self. But if it's temporary, it is not real. And it does not define us. I think we're about to get another American Idol update. What you got, Jasmine?
So Adam is safe too.
Okay, Adam is safe too, yeah. Oh, look, Dove already knew that. Dove's cheating. He must be watching American Idol and listening to Regina Dawn Akers. Is that fair?
No.
No, Dove, you're cheating.
Just kidding. I would have done the same.
Okay, so Adam is safe. So it's between Allison and Danny Gokey.
Danny's going home.
Danny's going home? Anybody else? I think Allison will go home. You think Danny will go home?
Allison is great, and Danny had a bad night.
Jasmine was not impressed with Danny's performance last night. So
Suzanne is too.
Suzanne is Dove's wife. Suzanne is listening to American Idol. We are listening to RDA. Okay, well, tell you what. I think we finished that message well. Bye-bye. And obviously, you know, what we want to be aware of is that our experience does come from us, so we are not the victim of our experience. This is similar to what the Course is talking about when it says the script is written. It kind of connects with the first message we read tonight. The best thing for us to do, really, is just to accept whatever is. And again, you know, we get confused sometimes because we're still identified with the egos. Uh-oh, hold on. Yes?
You're right, Allison's leaving.
Okay, Allison's leaving.
And it was the video of her leaving.
Okay, Allison is leaving. Danny Gokey is safe. All right. Okay, so let me finish my teaching, my love.
I'm sad.
Okay, I'll be in there in a minute. Do you want a kiss?
I already gave Jamie one.
Okay, I'll be in there in a minute. All right. Sometimes we get confused because we're so identified with the ego, and when we say things like, you know, I create my own experience. Sometimes we think it's the ego that creates it. The ego has an interpretation of it, but we as a whole create it. So as an individual, really my only choice is to accept it as it is and to choose to experience it with the Holy Spirit. I, as a seeming individual, cannot change it, or I'd be back to the first message we read tonight where I'm trying to order the thoughts instead of trusting that they come from God, which means they come from our totality. The experience comes from us. So I choose Regina, the seeing individual. I choose my experience, by which interpreter I choose to listen to as I experience what we together deem to experience. And whatever we together deem to experience, it is love, because we deemed it together. All right? So all there is love. And now it's just up to me to decide if I want to see it that way or not. So why don't we find out what song number 2 is on this CD that Danielle made for Jasmine, and then we'll be done for the night. Here we go. Song number 2.
This is for all you girls about 13. High school can be so rough, can be so
some pennies into the fountain of youth. I'm going to stop it there. But, you know, again, I think I hear things through the filter of whatever I last prayed about or talked about. But what I was hearing in that is, you know, again, accept creation as we experience it within this illusion. View everything with the Holy Spirit. Be happy. All right? I love you guys. I'll see some of you maybe this weekend in New Hampshire. I'll see the rest of you next Wednesday when I return to Pal Talk. Bye-bye.